ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، seeking the knowledge. There are adab or manners for seeking the knowledge for the person who is seeking it, and I will go over them quickly, as I said, inshallah. First of all, seeking the knowledge should be looked at as a ibadah. We are performing, inshallah, a worship for the pleasure, for the sake, for the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with this understanding, some of the conditions that should apply to any other ibadah should apply to this ibadah. And these two conditions, are, number one, anybody can say the first condition? Done with sincerity, ikhlas. It should be seeking the knowledge, or any other ibadah should be done with ikhlas, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاء. They have not been commanded but to worship Allah with pure deen, or purifying their religion to Him. Their worship, purifying their worship to Him alone, حُنَفَاء, which means according to Islam, to the pure beliefs of Islam. And also in the famous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-amalu bil-niyat, wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Faman kanat hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulih, fahijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulih." To the end of this hadith, which means deeds are only by intentions. Innama al-amalu bil-niyat. And everyone gets, which means as reward, what he intended. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ إِمْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. So whoever migrated from Mecca to Medina for Allah and His Messenger, he gets, this will be recorded to him, or this is recorded for him as migrating to Allah and His Messenger. And anyone who migrated for a dunya, or for a woman to marry, for a trade to prosper, then this is what he gets out of it. This is the only thing that he gets out of it. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجْرَ إِلَيْهِ. Nothing demolishes or destroys the seeking the knowledge like riya, show off. So seeking the knowledge should never be done with the intention of show off. And I've met people who ask me plainly and blankly, how can I learn quickly so that, you know, I'll be able to answer people if they ask me questions, to, you know, be in position of respect for my knowledge among the people. Some people have this kind of thought or idea, and this is terrible, because this is clearly shows that seeking the knowledge is not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not to establish, to learn what we are supposed to do, and then do it properly within ourselves, in our families, in our societies, calling people to obey Allah, but doing it for show off, to show ourselves to be people of knowledge, or able to answer some questions. So this is riya, and riya is a form of shirk, minor shirk. Joining or taking partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, because it means that the person is not doing the thing which is supposed to be done purely for Allah Azza wa Jal. He's not doing it for Allah, but he's doing it for some other reason. Similarly, for to say something to let people hear, it is a form of riya, or tasmiyah, or sum'ah, to say, you know, to let people know that directly or indirectly that I am a person of knowledge, so respect me for that. And as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ra'a ra'a Allahu bih, wa man sama'a sama'a Allahu bih," which means the one who shows off, ra'a from ru'ya, from seeing, the one who does say things so that people see, to please the eyesight of people, Allah will let them see things about him, which, you know, means things that will not please him, of course. The one, man sama'a, from hearing, the one who say things to make people hear praise of him or things like that, then Allah will make them or will spread his reputation in a way that will not be pleasing for him. One should be careful to protect his intention from anything that would mar it with riya or shirk or anything related to it. Like the love, حب الظهور والتفوق على الأقران كحب الظهور والتفوق على الأقران وجعله سلما لأغراض وأعراض من جاه أو مال أو تعظيم أو سمعة أو طلب محمدة أو صرف وجوه الناس إليه فإن هذه وأمثالها إن شابت النية أفسدتها. So one should be careful not to let his intention be marred by such things like loving to appear among people, to appear as a respectful situation among them, and to compete, so to seek the knowledge for the sake of competing with the others, with the co-students or those who are studying with him, to just for the sake of appearing better than them, or to make the knowledge a means of improving himself with position or wealth or respect or related things, the seeking the praise of people, or to be able to sit in a position where everybody will turn his faces to him in his deliverance of the knowledge. If such things, when such things mix with the niyyah, they destroy it. Any of these things will destroy the niyyah. And by that, the barakah, the blessing of the knowledge will be gone. So you have therefore to protect your niyyah from anything that would make the intention of seeking the knowledge for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be careful, and I gave the example the other day of a person who, like a mother who is taking care of her child and afraid that anything would happen to it, like a disease or anything that could hurt it when it is a little young baby. This is how we should deal with our deeds, with the deeds that we do for Allah Azza wa Jalla. We should be afraid that anything would reach them that would destroy them. Any kind of disease that would destroy the intention and therefore destroy the whole deed. And do anyone who does anything for other than Allah, as we said, his deed is habit, his deed habit amalu, which means it is destroyed. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, this is not an easy thing, by the way, and the scholars emphasize also the importance, the hardship that one goes through in doing it. Because as we start something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, we do a good deed for the sake of Allah, we find that very often the shaitan comes and tries to change our niyyah, so that instead of doing it for Allah, we do it for some other worldly purpose. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said, ما عالجت شيئا أشد علي من نيتي. I have never dealt with anything harder for me to deal with than my niyyah, my intention. And this is Sufyan, one of the greatest scholars of the of the Tabi'in. Umar bin Dhar said to his father, "O father, how is it? مالك إذا وعظت الناس أخذهم البكاء وإذا وعظهم غيرك لا يبكون." He said, how come when you reproach people, when you give them mawa'idha, they cry, but when somebody else does it, they do not cry, which means they are not affected by other people's, as far as they see, influence mawa'idha. فقال يا بني ليست النائحة الثكلى مثل النائحة ليست النائحة الثكلى مثل النائحة المستأجرة. Which means, O my son, the wailing woman who is thekla, which means who has lost a dear person, she wouldn't be wailing in the same way like the woman who has been hired to cry. So the one who is hired, she's not crying from her heart. She is crying just because she was paid to cry. But for him, for the one who has the reason in her heart to cry, she cries with truth. And in other words, he's telling him that I feel the reality of my problem, my deficiency, my my loss. And that is what how every person should look at himself, that I have so much sins that. And should remember his sins when he is reproaching other people, because that way he will, benefit himself and benefit others. But as some of the poets say it, I just give the meaning that you find yourself giving talks about death, and as if it is meant somebody else is meant by this, which means as if you will never die. Which means, you do not care about what you are saying. You do not realize this in your heart. And this should apply to us whenever we talk about something that we know we all are partners in it. We are all sinning people. We always make mistakes. So when we give a reproach, it should be something that would affect us before it affects anyone else. So he says, يَا بُنَيْ لَيْسَتِ النَّائِحَةُ الثَّكْلَى مثل النائحة المستأجرة. So therefore, a person, this is brought in relation to the niyyah, to the intention, because a person, his intention should be not to just speak for the sake of speaking, but with the intention of fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, remembering his sin, and transmitting this same message to the other people who are listening to him. Okay, this is the first important requirement for any ibadah, that it should be done with ikhlas. And this is, seeking the knowledge is one of these ibadat. Another condition, important requirement for any ibadah is, also we have discussed before, what is it, the second condition? Yeah, it should, that the ibadah should be performed according to the Quran, to the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Anyone who seeks or hopes to meet his Lord, which means on the Day of Judgment, to be in the Jannah and see his Lord, then let him do good deeds and not join any partners with his Lord in worship. الخصلة الجامعة لخيري الدنيا والآخرة, in the words of this author who is Bakr Abu Zayd, حفظ الله, الخصلة الجامعة لخيري الدنيا والآخرة محبة الله تعالى ومحبة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وتحقيقها بتمحض المتابعة وقفو الأثر للمعصوم. قال الله تعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبِكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. So he's saying that this quality or this character encompasses the good of this life and the next life, which is, what is this quality? loving Allah and loving His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is only fulfilled through adherence and true obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah said what means? Say, if you love Allah, if you truly love Allah, follow me, follow the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a true manner, then Allah will love you and forgive your sins. So these are the two requirements for this, seeking the knowledge, like for any other ibadah, to make it a true ibadah, that it should be done with sincerity and it should be done with according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he concludes this section by saying, فَأُوصِيكُمْ وَنَفْسِي بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ فهي العدة وهي مهبط الفضائل ومتنزل المحامد وهي مبعث القوة ومعراج السمو والرابط الوثيق على القلوب من الفتن. He gives us the advice that I give advice to myself and you to have taqwa of Allah, to fear Allah and be aware of His presence and His causeness and His power, His dominance, His great attributes in secret and in the open. Because this is the uddah, this is the tools which we will, the main tool that we want, we need. It is the reason for, bringing down the virtues and the praiseworthy deeds and the source of power and elevation, which means rising in the ranks of the hereafter. Because as we said before, we should emphasize it, that the intention is not to raise in ranks in this life. Seeking the knowledge should never be sought with this intention. Like some people say and think, once I met with a brother and he told me, he said my son is a alim. I said, how is that? He said, he just graduated from his school with a degree of alim. I don't know how which schools give such a degree, and he's only 17 years old, or he said 16, I don't remember. So people go to the school with the intention of becoming alim, and or hafiz or qari, or things like that. This unfortunately affects the niyyah of the person. And a alim is not a degree, of course, that is granted in colleges or universities. It is a degree of honor that is only granted by the scholars to a certain scholar, because they recognize him as a alim, as a person who is of knowledge, of respect. Therefore, he is a alim that will be referred to, that will be given ijazah or whatever kind of implicit or explicit recommendation, so that the knowledge can be taken from him. And it is not, as people think, something that you can acquire by going to college and going through the tests. Did you want to ask something? Okay. So he says it is وَالرَّابِطُ الْوَثِيقُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ. By having taqwa, then this is a great protection for the hearts from fitan, from deviation, from going into deviant thoughts, turbulences, and things like that. The second requirement for seeking the knowledge, the first that we mentioned was that the first character is that al-ilmu ibadah, seeking the knowledge is an act of worship. The second one is that we should do it in accordance with the way of the Salaf radiallahu anhu. We should follow the footsteps of the Salaf in seeking the knowledge. He says, the scholar here says, كن سلفيا على الجادة طريق السلفي طريق السلف الصالح من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم فمن بعدهم. Be upon the jadda, the way, the correct way of the Salaf, the good Salaf radiallahu anhum, of the Sahaba and their followers who came after them. So our seeking the knowledge, like any act of worship that we do, also should be upon the guidelines or the guidance of the Salaf, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and their true followers. مِمَّنْ قَفَى أَثَرَهُمْ فِي جَمِيعِ أَبْوَابِ الدِّينِ مِنَ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالْعِبَادَاتِ وَنَحْوِهَا. Of those who followed their footsteps, the footsteps of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in all aspects of the deen, whether it is tawheed or ibadat or acts of worship or other matters. مُتَمَيِّزًا بِالْتِزَامِ آثَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. You should be distinguished in your actions, in your seeking of the knowledge. You should be distinguished by adhering to the traces or the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتَوْظِيفِ السُّنَنِ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ وَتَرْكِ الْجِدَالِ وَالْمِرَاءِ وَالْخَوْضِ فِي عَلْمِ الْكَلَامِ مِمَّا يَجْلِبُ الْآثَامِ وَيَصُدُّ عَنِ الشَّرَعِ. And you should fulfill the sunan, employ them in yourself, and stay away from jidal, from futile arguing and philosophical discussions, because that brings sins and turns away from sharia, from the guidance, from the knowledge. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, al-Hafiz al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, said, صح عن الدارقطني أنه قال ما شيء أبغض إلي من علم الكلام. He said nothing is more hated to me than علم الكلام, the discussion which is based in the matters of beliefs which is based on philosophy. That is what they used to call as علم الكلام, and still some people call it to our time. قلت. Now this is the comment from al-Dhahabi. He said, قلت لم يدخل الرجل أبدا في علم الكلام ولا الجدال ولا خاض في ذلك بل كان سلفيا. So al-Dhahabi is saying about Daraqutni, he said this man never involved himself in علم الكلام, nor in arguing, in futile arguing. He never got into any of that, rather he was سلفيا, which means he was according to the ways of the Salaf. And as you know, Daraqutni was approximately in the end of the 3rd century after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was in the early generations still. And yet he was in his methods, in his approach, he was upon the guidance of those who preceded him, who are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Tabi'een radiallahu rahimahumullah, and the great scholars of Islam rahimahumullah, like Abu Hanifa, Malik, Al-Shafi'i, Ahmad, and others like Al-Awza'i and Thawri and Nakhay and so on. So Imam Ad-Daraqutni, who was one of the great scholars of Hadith, was also in his understanding or in his dealing with the knowledge, with the seeking of the knowledge, he was according to the way of the Salaf, who are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and their true followers. وهؤلاء هم أهل السنة والجماعة المتبعون آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. These are the people of أهل السنة والجماعة who follow the footsteps and the guidance of them of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they are, according to the description of Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, وأهل السنة نقاوة المسلمين وهم خير الناس للناس. Ahl al-Sunnah is the purest among the Muslims. People of Sunnah are the purest. وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ لِلنَّاسِ. They are the best of people to people. When a person is following the Sunnah, that means he is following the true revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The more that one of us attempts to and succeeds in adhering to the Sunnah, the closer that he is to what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from him. And when a person lives by Allah's guidance, then he is the most useful, not only to himself, but to other people. Even people who are against him, who are deviant, Allah's mercy will engulf him, and those who are with him and therefore some of this mercy will reach even these people who do not deserve it, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about that the spreading of the sins, that whenever the sin al-fahisha spreads among people, especially he mentioned the riba, usury, when they deal with usury, then he mentioned the punishment that happens to them, and he said وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمَ لَمْ يُمْطَرُوا, and if it were not for the animals, they would not have, no rain would have been sent down to them. So when Allah's mercy comes down, it comes to those who deserve it, and some of it in this world will reach as well those who are against such a mercy because of their ignorance and deviation. So the second thing that we mentioned is that the guidance, the seeking for knowledge should be according to the guidance of the Salaf, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and their true soul followers. The third thing is that one should always do this, in this and other acts, he should always be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُلَازَمَةُ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And he says, in the words of the author, he says, التَّحَلِّي بِعِمَارَةِ الظَّاهِرِ وَالْبَاطِنِ بِخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مُحَافِظًا عَلَى شَعَائِرِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَإِظْهَارِ السُّنَّةِ وَنَشْرِهَا بِالْعَمَلِ بِهَا وَالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَيْهَا دَالًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعِلْمِكَ وَسَمْتِكَ وَعَمَلِكَ مُتَحَلِّيًا بِالرُّجُولَةِ وَالسَّمْتِ الصَّالِحِ وَمَلَاكُ ذَلِكَ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. ولهذا قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى أصل العلم خشية الله تعالى فالزم خشية الله في السر والعلن فإن خير البرية من يخشى الله تعالى وما يخشاه إلا عالم. He says you should decorate your apparent actions as well as the hidden deeds, your heart, with fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means this should be a quality present in you at all times. You should be demonstrating or representing the requirements of Islam in your actions, whether they are again hidden or apparent. Izhar is sunnah, and also you should make the sunnah apparent in what you do and spread it by deeds and da'wah, pointing to Allah Azza wa Jal with your knowledge, with your action, with your appearance. And the thing that encompasses all of this is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one, in other words, one should be, when one is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would, his appearance, his actions, his da'wah, his words, everything that he does would be in according with the teachings, with the commands of Allah, in according with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of this, Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said the basis or the foundation for ilm, asul ilm, khashyatullah, is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So adhere to fearing Allah in secret and in open, because the best among people are those who fear Allah, and no one fears Allah but a alim. Now we get to a point that I just, since this is connected to a point that I mentioned a little earlier, here he says that no one fears Allah but a alim, and therefore Al-ilmu, as many scholars say, like Imam Ahmad, like Hafiz Ibn Rajab, brings many of the statements of these scholars about that the true knowledge, the true ilm, is fearing Allah. If a person acquires piles of knowledge, becomes at the level of professorship in knowledge of Islam, like many of the Orientalists do, that doesn't make him a alim. A alim is one who, even with a little amount of knowledge, this knowledge brings the fear of Allah into his heart. So that is the alim, in the most pure meaning of it. Now, in the shar'i meaning of it, a alim is one who other people can seek the knowledge from him. But if the alim does not fulfill the first meaning of alim, which means fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, then there is no meaning for him be, standing in or being put in a position of delivering the ilm to the other people. So the ilm should be done seeking the knowledge, and delivering it should be with fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَغِبْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْعَالِمْ لَا يُعَدُّ عَالِمًا إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ عَامِلًا وَلَا يَعْمَلُ الْعَالِمُ بِعِلْمِهِ إِلَّا إِذَا لَزِمَتْهُ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. He says, let it not be away from your thought that a alim does not count as a alim unless he is acting, عامل, acting upon his knowledge. And a alim will not act with his knowledge unless he is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless he is afraid of Allah. He says here an interesting thing. وَأَسْنَدَ الْخَطِيبُ الْبَغْدَادِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِسَنَدٍ فِيهِ لَطِيفَةٌ إِسْنَادِيَّ بِرِوَايَةِ آبَاءٍ تِسْعَةٍ فَقَالَ. This is a very interesting hadith. He says, or not.
Inshallah, we will start with our discussion of the manners and characters in seeking the knowledge required in a person seeking the knowledge. And in the beginning, we'll have a quick review, inshallah, and we'll ask some questions from the people who were here last time. First, or also the people who were here the time before, they can answer most of these questions, inshallah. First, what is common between seeking the knowledge and ibadah, or seeking the knowledge? How is it related to ibadah? Majdi. No, he was. Okay. Seeking the knowledge can be ibadah, is a form of ibadah, and then you add it to that, that it is the requirements of ibadah, that it should be with sincerity, that is ikhlas and niyyah. The niyyah should be that it is for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the second requirement for ibadah is that it should be, that's something I didn't ask, but since you volunteered to give additional information, then what is the other condition of ibadah? Yeah, it should be according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It shouldn't be, you know, like any according to our innovations or anything like that. طيب. I count this like you answered next. Is it important for seeking the knowledge to be done according with fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla? Ya Abdurrahman Yamut. We don't have to? You don't have to fear Allah while seeking the knowledge, or you do? Otherwise, it's shirk? Well, not necessarily shirk, but otherwise, you take away the the manners of seeking the knowledge, or some of the very important manners, which is what results from fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla. But shirk, if it is done with intention, with niyyah, to that it is directed to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, well, how important is arguing to establish good ways of seeking the knowledge? How important or necessary is arguing, al-jidal, in seeking the knowledge? Salah. Is it very important that we apply jidal in seeking the knowledge? you know, arguing, futile arguments and mira. Okay, I said futile arguing, which means useless arguing. So that gives you a sufficient hint. Right. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, as Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ هُدًى كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُوتُوا الْجَدَلِ. No people have been have deviated after they were guided, but they were given jadal, arguing. And then he recited Allah's saying, مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ, which means they did not bring him as an example to you, which is their discussion about Isa alayhi salam, إِلَّا جَدَلًا, but for the sake of argument. They are indeed people who like to argue without reason. What are some of the demonstrations of fearing Allah while the person seeks knowledge or does any other deed? How can the seeking of knowledge be represented or reflected in his actions when he's seeking the knowledge or doing any other act of ibadah or of life as well? Salaam wa rahmatullah. The question is to yes sir, did you hear the question? Question is, if a person has khawf min Allah Azza wa Jal, khashyatillah, how would this be reflected in his seeking of knowledge? Okay, can you give examples? Okay, let somebody else. Let Abdullah give some example. يعني خشية الله في طلب العلم. يعني هو بين إنه بشكل عام يعني in general what it means in seeking knowledge. Now I wanted concrete examples. Like how can you demonstrate that you fear Allah by concrete examples in seeking while you are seeking the knowledge? But this is really against, this is something that is in the niyyah, in the intention. And somebody may say something and it could look like mira, but we don't know. I mean, it could be sincere. I mean, he could have said it for a reason, for a purpose other than riya or mira or whatever. Yeah, you mean mira or riya?
Mira.
Mira, arguing you mean?
Riya.
Riya is something in the niyyah. Because a person does something for the sake of people instead of being for the sake of Allah, this conflicts with the intention. And we don't know, I mean, this is something in the heart, but I'm saying in the actions, in the apparent actions. How can we say that a person is representing or showing fear of Allah in his actions? Anybody has
amal bil'an,
like what?
To do what is done,
act upon the knowledge.
Act upon the knowledge.
Okay.
And to al-amal bil-sunnah.
Okay, to apply the sunnah in his appearance and his actions. Exactly, that's what he discusses. From what we discussed last time. Then. Okay, let's see. So now, inshallah, we have to continue in the discussion, inshallah. So, last we cannot because we are following because we have to follow the schedule, inshallah. So maybe at the end we'll have chance to chat or discuss, inshallah. There is an important thing that I wanted to point out regarding seeking the knowledge from different book. We have been dealing with Hulyat Talib al-Alam by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. But for the time being, I'll take a short break, brief break, to go to the book of Ar-Risala by Imam Shafi'i to read some very important section regarding seeking the knowledge, because that, inshallah, will give us some reminder or insight on how we should, in general, what should be our general attitude in seeking the knowledge. So he says, rahimahullah, فَكُلُّ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَحُجَّةٌ. Everything that Allah revealed in His book, praise be to Him, is rahmatun wa hujjah. It is a mercy and it is a hujjah, evidence. عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. There are people who will know it, but there are people who will not know it. لا يعلم من جهله. Those who are ignorant about it, they are not ignorant. They are not knowledgeable at all. They have no knowledge. لا يعلم من جهله. ولا يجهل من علمه. And those who know this, they are not ignorant. Which means, the one who understands the Quran, it doesn't harm him what he doesn't know anymore. Other than that, if he understands the hujjah and the rahmah and everything, the meanings of the Quran, then that's the important knowledge. Everything else is like, you know, details that are not important. And once one has this knowledge, then he has the complete knowledge or the important knowledge. وَالنَّاسُ فِي الْعِلْمِ طَبَقَاتٍ. People in their knowledge of the Quran, of Islam, that is, you know, because all the knowledge that we study in the Sharia and Islam is where it derives from, where? From the Quran. It's all an explanation of the Quran in one way or the other. That's all what we study. When we study Ilm al-Hadith, it is an explanation of the Quran. When we study al-Ahkam, al-Adab, etc., etc., anything, it's a study of the Quran in reality. So he says, النَّاسُ فِي الْعِلْمِ طَبَقَاتٍ. The people and their knowledge are different levels. مَوْقِعُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ بِقَدْرِ دَرَجَاتِهِمْ فِي الْعِلْمِ بِهِ. Their position in the knowledge, that is how knowledgeable they are, is in proportion with their knowledge of the Quran. The more they are knowledgeable of the Quran, the more they are knowledgeable. You say they are ulama or have knowledge. Now, he gives the important advice that I referred to. فَحُقَّ عَلَى طُلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ بُلُوغُ غَايَةِ جُهْدِهِمْ فِي الْاِسْتِكْثَارِ مِنْ عِلْمِ. He's saying it is a requirement on طَلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ, those who seek the knowledge, بُلُوغَ غَايَةِ جُهْدِهِمْ, to exert their effort to the utmost. To exert their utmost effort فِي الْاِسْتِكْثَارِ مِنْ عِلْمِ, to increase their knowledge of it. Of what? Of the Qur'an. To increase their knowledge of the Qur'an. That's the first condition that he gives. Now remember, notice that he will be giving several important guidelines for seeking the knowledge. First of all, one has to exert his effort to the utmost. As much as he can put effort, he should put to seek the knowledge. Second, وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى كُلِّ عَارِضٍ دُونَ طَلَبٍ, and to be patient in the face of everything that tries to hinder you from seeking the knowledge. وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى كُلِّ عَارِضٍ دُونَ طَلَبٍ. Third, وَإِخْلَاصُ النِّيَّةِ لِلَّهِ فِي اسْتِدْرَاكِ عِلْمٍ, and to have sincerity, pure niyyah, that the niyyah should be pure for Allah Azza wa Jal in compiling or seeking this knowledge. Nassan wastimbata, whether this knowledge that you are seeking is nas, which means the texts, knowledge of the texts, or derivation from it. Because as we said, that the knowledge of the Quran is either by the text itself, which means you read the ayah of the Quran and you memorize it. This is knowledge. You read the ayah and understand its explanation. This is knowledge also of the nas, of the text. But istinbat, when you take the ayah and see what are the relevant ahadith and so on, and you make the derivation out of that, that is istinbat. That is ijtihad. Okay? So, وَأَخْلَاصُ النِّيَّةِ لِلَّهِ فِي اسْتِدْرَاكِ عِلْمِهِ نَصًّا سَلَامًا وَاسْتِنْبَاطًا وَالرَّغْبَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْعَوْنِ عَلَيْهِ. This is the fourth requirement that he gives. That one should have, رَغْبَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, which means he should ask Allah Azza wa Jal, with deplore Allah, to help him in seeking the knowledge. So it's not enough that we have the strong intention and we have patience and so on, but we have always to ask Allah, to rely on Allah to help us to seek the knowledge. As we say in our prayer, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, we worship you and also we seek your help to help us in seeking the worship, to performing the worship properly. وَالرَّغْبَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْعَوْنِ عَلَيْهِ, and deploring Allah or turning sincerely to Allah, asking Him to help us in seeking this knowledge. So one should really be very concerned about this, so that he would ask Allah, oh Allah, help me to seek more knowledge of your deen, so that people will say that I have knowledge, right? So that people will say, MashaAllah, he has knowledge. No, of course. We say, oh Allah, give me the knowledge so that I can worship you better, so that I know you better, I feel you more. Because as we said before, the knowledge, the true knowledge, is fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ خَيْرٌ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِهِ. Says, because there is no good that can be attained, no good can be attained without His help, without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ عِلْمَ أَحْكَامِ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ نَصًّا وَاسْتِدْلَالًا. So the one who reaches or attains the knowledge of the ahkam, the legislations, Allah's legislations in His book, whether it is a text or istidlalam, which means by evidence, وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ لِلْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. This is the fifth requirement. وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ لِلْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمَا عَلِمَ مِنْهُ. Allah facilitates for him, helps him to say, which means teach or advise or give nasiha, command good and forbid evil, قول والعمل, and act, do as he learned, بما علم منه. You can even separate this into two things, the saying and the action. وفقه الله للقول والعمل بما علم منه, with what he knows of it, not with ignorance, with what he knew of it, with what he learned, according to what he learned, فاز بالفضيلة. The one who fulfills these conditions, فاز بالفضيلة, which means he gains virtue, he becomes virtuous. في دينه ودنيا, in his deen and in his dunya. وانتفت عنه الريب, and the doubts will be gone from him, will be removed from him. ونورت في قلبه الحكمة, and wisdom will light in his heart, his chest. واستوجب في الدين موضع الإمامة, and then he deserves in the deen the position of imama, leadership in the deen. So he gives a very beautiful dua here. He says, فنسأل الله المبتدئ لنا بنعمه قبل استحقاقها المديمها علينا مع تقصيرنا في الإتيان على ما أوجب به من شكره بها الجاعلنا في خير أمة أخرجت للناس أن يرزقنا فهما في كتابه ثم سنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وقولا وعملا يؤدي به عنا حقه ويوجب لنا نافلة مزيد. He says, we ask Allah who gives us his favors to start with even before we deserve them. المبتدئ لنا بنعمه قبل استحقاقها المديمها علينا, and one who continues to give them to us مع تقصيرنا في الإتيان على ما أجب به من شكر بها, even though we are not doing enough, we are not fulfilling, we are falling short of doing what he required from us of being thankful. He required from us to do good, to stay away from wrong, to do certain worships, to pray, to fast, etc., etc. Everything that he commanded us, we do not do it in a good way, in a perfect way. And yet Allah does not say, okay, because you are not doing that, I will stop sending my favors to you. No, he continues to send his favors to us. So he says, the one, we ask Allah who starts by giving us his bounties before we deserve them, and then even though we fall short of fulfilling the being thankful to him, yet he continues to give them to us. And the one who put us, made us in the best nation who was sent out to people, al-ja'ilina fi khayri ummati ukhrijat lin-nas, we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to bestow on us a fahm in his kitab, an understanding of his book, and then of his, the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sayings, words and actions, وَعَمَلًا يُؤَدِّي بِهِ عَنَّا حَقَّهُ وَيُوجِبُ لَنَا نَافِيَةَ مَزِيدِهِ, that would by which we would fulfill the requirement, the obligation of being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that would result in an additional bounty or ajr for us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are very important and words, very important words of wisdom regarding seeking the knowledge from the great Imam, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Yeah. As-Sariya, repeat them? Okay, inshallah. In Arabic or in Turkish? Okay. So he says, فَحُقَّ عَلَى طُلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ بُلُوغُ غَايَةِ جُهْدِهِمْ فِي الْاِسْتِكْثَارِ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ. أول شيء بلوغ غاية الجهد. You have to really strive to seek the knowledge. Some people want to seek the knowledge while they are sitting in their beds, laying down, and they want somebody to bring in a spoon and put it in their mouth for the knowledge to come to them. Yeah, that's how we become. I mean, actually all of us have become like this. Like that. We take the cassette and put it in the car, and we think that by that we have become scholars. We don't want to exert any effort. When the, you know that the great scholars, they used to work, you know, unbelievable number of hours, take travel trips and so on, spend days and nights hungry to seek the knowledge. And, you know, so the person needs to be, or has to be, if he is serious about seeking the knowledge, he should be willing to sacrifice time, sleep, etc., etc. Yeah, that's right. That's how it should be, that people seek the knowledge, go to it, look for it. So that's the first. بلوغ غاية جهدهم في الاستكثار من علمه والصبر على كل عارض دون طلبه. Second, patience. Third, إخلاص النية لله في استدراك علمه نصا واستنباطا. إخلاص النية, the third one. And the fourth, الرغبة إلى الله في العون. إخلاص النية, sincerity. And the fourth is الرغبة إلى الله في العون, asking Allah for help, because all لا يدرك خير إلا بعونه. And then the one who does that, and Allah enables him to say and act according to what he knew, then this is the one who deserves the position. Al-qawl wal-amal bima alima min. Okay, now let's go back, inshallah, to the book of Halyatul Talib al-Alm in the few minutes that we have left of this subject. So we discussed four characters so far in seeking the knowledge of this book, which is that seeking the knowledge is a ibadah, a worship. Seeking the knowledge should be done according to the way of the Salaf radiallahu anhum, of the Sahaba and their followers. And third, it should be done with practice, with fearing Allah, with khawf of Allah. This should be clear in the actions of the student of knowledge. So, and fourth, دوام المراقبة, which means that the person should continuously be aware of Allah's presence and watchfulness over him, that he should always be fully his heart should be full of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his tongue should be always mentioning and remembering Allah, he should be happy to abide by the commands of Allah and afraid to abstain or deviate from them. Did we discuss this point? No, this is new. Okay, so let's then go to it in a little more detail. It's not much more. He says here, التحلي بدوام المراقبة لله تعالى في السر والعلن, which means that a person should beautify himself by that he always continuously is watchful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret and in the open, which means as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراه. Worship Allah as if you see him, because even though you do not see him, he sees you. Okay, so if a person worships Allah with this understanding in himself, that Allah is so close to us that we can almost see him, then we will take heed more, we will fear him more, we will stay away from things that he prohibited and do what he commanded in a better way. سائرا التحلي بدوام المراقبة لله تعالى في السر والعلن, in secret and open. سائرا إلى ربك بين الخوف والرجاء, moving in the direction or towards your Lord, which means in obedience to him عز وجل, between خوف and رجاء, between fear and hope. So with the balance of fear and hope, as we discussed a while ago in some of the talks after عشاء, فإنهما للمسلم كالجناحين للطائر, because these two things, خوف and رجاء, are for a believer, for a Muslim, like the two wings of a bird. And as you know, a bird cannot fly without wings, cannot fly with one wing. He needs both wings to fly. So we need to be afraid of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and at the same time hopeful of Allah, afraid of his punishment, hopeful of his forgiveness and rewards. So we should always be in balance between these two. فَأَقْبِلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِكُلِّيَّتِكَ, so turn to Allah with your whole being. Turn fully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْيَمْتَلِئْ قَلْبُكَ بِمَحَبَّتِهِ, and let your heart be full of his love, of loving him. وَلِسَانُكَ بِذِكْرِهِ, which means always remember, mention Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is the hadith? لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, let your tongue always be what with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِسَانُكَ بِذِكْرِهِ وَالِاسْتِبْشَارِ وَلْيَمْتَلِئْ قَلْبُكَ بِمَحَبَّتِهِ وَلِسَانُكَ بِذِكْرِهِ وَالِاسْتِبْشَارِ وَالْفَرَحِ وَالسُّرُورِ بِأَحْكَامِهِ, and let your heart or your tongue be happy and expectant always of the happy and pleased with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, satisfied with his commands and with his decrees, which means when Allah azza wa jal gives a command as Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدَوَ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يَحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They do not find in their hearts any or in their chests any tightness in regard to what you decree or decide. That's for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is the command from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's Allah's decree and decision. So they do not have any tightness in their chest against that. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, they submit to it in a full way, with full submission. So a person, when a command comes from Allah, you should do this, he says, you would be pleased with it. Let our hearts be pleased when we learn that Allah commands us to do this or forbids us from doing that. Instead of people being rebellious, why did Allah make this for us? Why does He make things hard on us? Why aren't we like these other people? So this is terrible if a person has any such thoughts. A person should be pleased with Allah's commands because he realizes that it is from our beloved Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not for anything but our benefit. So when a person has this attitude towards Allah's commands and also towards His decrees, which means if Allah decreed some hardship for us, like, you know, a disaster or a hardship, a sickness, whatever it is, we say Alhamdulillah, we submit to it, then by that we would get the reward and we would be demonstrating a true muraqabah, a true submission, a true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any questions about this? We finished the half hour. Yeah, I mean that's part of it, that whatever hardship or disaster befalls the person is بِفَيُمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِكُمْ وَنَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرًا وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرًا. So when a person thinks like this, that if a disaster happens to me, it is because of my doings, it's not that Allah is unjust to me, and Allah Azza wa Jal will also, you know, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, that whatever happens to us, Allah will forgive a sin for us, or will raise us in degrees and levels and rewards by doing that. So.